Praise God. Luke chapter 1 and verse 67. We've not made it out of Luke chapter 1 yet, but I hope you'll follow along with me here tonight as I read beginning with verse 67. Luke chapter 1 and verse 67. And his father, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of the enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest. Remember, this is called the prophecy of Zacharias, or the song of Zacharias. And when he says, and thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, he's talking about his newborn baby, John. And you, baby, you're going to be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. Amen. What a great song. What a great prophecy. I think it's wonderful for a lot of reasons, but it's really a wonderful prophecy because Zacharias had been silenced by his own unbelief. He had been silenced. Remember, we went through this account briefly this morning, and then Wednesday night we talked about the fact that Zacharias, because of his unbelief, Gabriel said, Listen, I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. Don't you know who's talking to you? Don't doubt what I'm saying. Don't question what I'm saying when I tell you that even though you're old, and even though your wife is old, and even though that even when she was young, she was barren, I'm going to move in this situation, and you are going to have a child. And he's going to be a man-child. And you're going to call his name John. Amen. Glory to God. And when you back up to verse 57 of this Luke chapter 1, it says that when Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, she brought forth a son, and her neighbors and her cousins. Now this sounds like it is in Kentucky when a baby is born. Her neighbors and her cousins, everybody came around. And the time that they took John to the temple for his circumcision, and when they gathered together, the neighbors and the cousins, and they all heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. This was just a big celebration of a baby and the celebration of a miracle baby that has come now to the household of Elizabeth and Zacharias. God remembered Zacharias. God blessed Elizabeth. And now they have come for this circumcision. It's kind of like, they've gathered together. They're all celebrating and rejoicing. And they're all saying, look at little Zacharias. Look at him, because that was the normal thing, especially in Bible days. The firstborn was named after the father. And So they all were gathering around saying, look at little Zach. Look at little Zacharias. Isn't he wonderful? Isn't he just an amazing little baby? Look at this little miracle that's come to this family. And Elizabeth said, no. His name is not Zacharias. His name, he's going to be called John. And the people are all, they're so confused because the normal thing to do, especially in a case like this, when Zacharias has been visited by God and there's such a miracle, they knew certainly this child will be called by his father's name. No, not at all. She said, no, he's not going to be called Zacharias. He's going to be called John. So they turned to Zacharias, who still is dumb. He's been all of these months unable to speak. And they turned to him and say, what about it? What's going on? And it says that they were kind of signaling to him. They were pointing at the baby and they were pointing at him and saying, his name is Zacharias, is it not? And he said, bring me a tablet. Now, this wasn't a tablet. This was a tablet to write on. And he wrote there on that tablet and said, this child is going to be called John. His name is John. That's final. Something miraculous took place whenever he made that confession. Even though he wrote it out, he said his name is John, confirming that that was exactly what was going to take place. A miracle then came. He was immediately able to speak. And all of these months of silence, now he's able to speak. Praise God. Amen. His mouth was opened and his tongue loosed and he spake and he praised God. He knew this was a miracle. He knew that this was God, the hand of God that had provided this wonderful child, John, into his household. And his mouth was opened immediately and his tongue loosed and he spake and praised God. And fear came on all that dwelt round about them. They knew that something supernatural was taking place. Fear came upon all of those who were there. Everyone was afraid. And it says that they laid it up in their heart. They mulled over it. This was a matter that they were thinking about, considering what is going on. And they even said, what kind of a child is this going to be? They knew that this was a miraculous provision for that household and for that family. They didn't realize the full implication. They did not realize the ministry that John was to have. And they certainly didn't realize that John was going to be the new prophetic mouthpiece that God was going to use after all these years and years of silence. And now God was raising up a miracle child in this family. And he was going to be a voice that was going to be a forerunner, a preparer of the way for Jesus to be born. Praise God. This is such a good story, isn't it? Amen. It's a good story. Now, let me just take notice of this now. In verse 67, where I read the text, it says that Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and began to prophesy. Could I just insert this right here? This was a Holy Ghost family. This was a Holy Ghost-filled family. Zacharias is really the last one, I guess, to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And now that his tongue is loosed and he can publicly praise the Lord, he is filled with the Holy Ghost and begins to prophesy. You have to go back a few verses in the same chapter and remember when Mary made the journey to go see her cousin Elizabeth, and when she walks into the room and she begins to tell of the angelic visitor that she had and all that was happening to her, the miracle in her own life, the Bible says that the baby leaped in her womb. He was a Holy Ghost baby, was he not? The baby leaped in his room when he heard what was going on in the life of, and the Bible says, and that Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And then in verse 15, whenever the first message had come concerning John by Gabriel, when he described him and who he was going to be and the kind of ministry he was going to have. He says in verse 15, "For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb." So John is baptized in the Holy Ghost before he's even born. His mother is baptized with the Holy Ghost whenever she's filled with the Spirit. Whenever she is, hears the message concerning Mary. And now when Zacharias' lips are loosed and his tongue is loosed and he begins to prophesy, he is filled with the Spirit of God. Praise God. This was a miracle family. This was a Holy Ghost family. Amen. I mean, there were some wonderful and mighty things going on here. Now, this has been a long time to not be able to talk or to sing or to speak or to praise God. All of these months, this is the most exciting thing that's ever happened in his life and in his family. Am I not right? It is the most exciting time. A baby is going to be born and it's a miracle. But he can't talk about it. He is silenced because of his unbelief. But you know that during that time, it's obvious that God was doing a work in the life and in the heart and the mind of Zacharias. When you read, as we read to you, this prophecy and this song of Zacharias, you can tell the kind of a person that he is. The doubt is all gone. He is nothing but rejoicing, nothing but confidence in God, and he's very clear. He has a full understanding of the purpose of John's coming into his household and into this world. He's clear about it. Amen. You know, sometimes you can learn things in quietness that you cannot learn otherwise. Isn't it true? There are some things you learn when you are alone with the Lord. And there's some verses that I can call your attention to that confirm that important truth. Isaiah 30, verse 15, "For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength." There's something to be said for times when we kind of pull aside and we're quiet. Now, this was a forced time upon Zacharias. But he didn't lose ground, and he didn't suffer spiritually during those times. As a matter of fact, I'm convinced that there was some doubt that had to be dealt with, and unbelief that had to be dealt with. And it was during those times when he couldn't speak, when everything was going on inside of him and in his spirit, in his mind, in his heart, that God was talking to him, dealing with him, helping him to see that in quietness and in confidence, you're strengthened. Amen. You find strength. James says in James 1 and 19, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." You see, the righteous, they speak little and do a lot. The unrighteous talk a lot, but don't do much. But I do believe that Zacharias was having a special personal encounter with God as God was revealing himself to him and helping him to understand the plan that he was unveiling to him in his life. Praise God. Amen. So in his song or in his prophecy, he talks about this wonderful visitation to redeem the people. It's obvious that he's got a hold of the whole concept, the whole truth of what God is doing. He says that God was raising up a horn of salvation. All through the scripture, that terminology is used. Because the horns on any kind of an animal or beast was the strongest. And that's what they would defend themselves with. That's what they would fight with. And it was the strength. And that's the imagery that's giving all through the Old Testament when it describes the horn of our salvation, that Jesus would come. The Messiah would come and he would be the one that would defend us. He would be the one that would protect us and would fight our battles for us. Amen. Praise God. And he, as he spake of the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that when we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers. He was going all the way back to the beginning. Every man, every prophet of God that God raised up, God was using them as a voice to present the truth of the fact that we're all pointing to a day when Jesus the Messiah is going to come. Praise God. Now you and I, we live in the post season after his coming, after Christ's coming. All those were looking before, generations before, they looked for and they waited for his coming. I don't know about you, I am not a good person. I'm not very patient when it comes to waiting. I don't like to wait. But sometimes I have to. Amen. And you may have prayed about things and asked the Lord to change things or to bring about things in your life, but waiting is important. All those previous generations, they waited. They waited. They were faithful and they waited for the coming Messiah. Praise God. Abraham did. The others of the prophets did. All of the fathers did. Let me tell you, Zacharias, in those months, while a baby was forming in the womb of Elizabeth, there was this glorious spiritual truth that was being birthed in the heart and the mind of Zacharias. A full understanding and a comprehension of what was happening in his home and what the Lord was going to do in preparing the way for the Messiah. This was some great days when truth was being unveiled to the people. When you go back to Malachi, and you see that those prophecies were given, and the last messages, the last prophecies that were given, and then there's this space between the Old Testament, New Testament, of somewhere around 400 years that it was quiet and it was silenced, and there was no prophetic word and no voice of the Lord. Can you imagine it? Can you imagine 400 years to never have any confirmation that God is real or that God is working or that his word is true? I can't imagine it. You can put it kind of in context when you think about how old our nation is. You go back 100 years and 200 years and not even 300 years. Since the beginning of our and the founding of our nation. Can you imagine all that many years? And that span of time, there have been amazing revivals in our country. Amen. In that span of time, there have been great awakenings when the nation would fall into great need, spiritual need, and God would raise up someone to be a revivalist or someone that God would use to bring them out of their darkness. All of those years, there's been a number of awakenings and revivals in our nation over its history of less than 300 years. 400 years, though. No word from the Lord. No voice. No confirmation that God wasn't even involved in their life. That's the reason why that Zacharias' message, it is a prophecy, but it's also a song, because his heart is so filled with praise because he understands what is happening. Amen. No longer the science. Silence, now the voice of the Lord. And he's raising up his own child, raised in his own household, is going to be this new prophet. Prophesying of the Messiah. He's the one that's going to usher in the Messiah that so many, generation after generation, have been looking forward to and longing for. Malachi talked about this day coming, and he says, "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of righteousness arise with healing in his wings. Ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall." Now that was the prophecy that was given then. And in Zacharias' prophecy, he says, "My son, my baby, is going to be the prophet of the highest. He's going to go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of sins through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us." That's a wonderful word, isn't it? Day spring from on high hath visited us. The day spring was talking about the sun coming up, just starting to come up. And if any of you all get up early enough that you've ever seen the sunrise, surely you have. It's a pretty glorious thing, isn't it? It's a pretty amazing thing. When the darkness just gradually begins to be dispelled and the light takes over and the darkness is gone. Amen. That's what he's describing whenever he says the day spring from on high, or the rising sun, or the daylight, or the dawn of light. That's who he is going to be, the day spring from on high. Malachi was talking about this day spring from on high when he said that this Son of Righteousness is going to arise with healing in his wings. Amen. A few weeks ago, I started having pain in the top of my stomach. And I thought, I'm having a heart attack, or something, my gallbladder's messed up, or something's going on. I couldn't get relief. And when I went to bed, it's when it was the worst. And there's about three nights, or maybe four nights, I could not sleep. And that's not like me. I mean, I sleep. I go to bed, and I'm gone. And I sleep most of the night. That's not like me. But I had a three or four nights where I could not hardly sleep. I couldn't get any relief. Every position, it just hurt and hurt and hurt, and kept me awake through the night. I was so relieved when I found out other people who said to me, "I had this virus or something," and people have said to me, "You know, I just hurt right here in the top of my stomach." And everybody that I met that told me that, I was so relieved that I wasn't having a heart attack or something was bad, wrong with me. And after the three or four nights, but I have to tell you, whenever you're going through something like that, you look forward to morning. Something about morning. If you've ever been sick through the night, or ever had something that just weighing on your mind, and some burden on your mind, and you couldn't get free from that, couldn't get relief from that, something about the sun starting to come up, why is it a relief? Amen. And that's what Malachi was talking about. The Son of Righteousness, that he would come with healing in his wings. And it says, "And you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall." When the sun comes up, it's going to be like the calves that are normally kept in a confined stall, and they've been let out of the stall and just run and having a big time, relieved and happy. Glory to God. Do you understand that that's what was going on with Zacharias' message here? He said the day spring from on high is going to come. And while the whole earth is covered with spiritual darkness, hopelessness, that this Messiah was going to come. And whenever the Son of Righteousness come, whenever he came, it was going to be like the sun coming up. And it was going to be a new day. The dawn of a new day. Amen. Zacharias understood that now. He didn't before in the first part of the chapter. He was a doubter. He was full of unbelief. And it silenced him for that entire time that John was coming. But now he knows. Now in the quiet, in the silence, in the time that he went through of silence, God spoke to him. And so whenever his tongue is loosed and he's able to speak, now he's singing praises to God. And he's talking about this Son of Righteousness that's coming, this day spring. Amen. Really, the word, it means a sunrise or the rising of the sun or the dawn. It brings to mind the whole idea of new beginnings, a new day, something new and fresh that God was going to do. And that's what the coming of the Messiah did. It brought hopelessness into hopeless lives. Amen. And it's been going on now for 2,000 years that a person that's so overwhelmed with darkness and sin in their life and so hopeless in their circumstance that somehow the message of the gospel breaks through and it's like the dawn of a new day. That a person can be truly born again and they can come out of darkness and into His marvelous light. Praise God. That's what happened to you. If you're a Christian, if you're born again of the Spirit of God, there was a day when your darkness was too much for you to deal with and you had to have Jesus. You had to have the day spring to come into your life situation, whatever you were dealing with, the sin and the burden of sin and all that goes along with that. And it was only Jesus that can bring hope into that situation. I have to tell you, we're living in some times right now where darkness is everywhere. All over the world, there's a spiritual darkness. Everywhere. We used to point at different nations of the world and talk about those that are Muslims and those that are in Buddhism and these various religions of the world and how that they're lost in their darkness. And it's still very, very true. Multiplied millions, even billions of people in our world don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. They're in darkness. They're lost. And if they die, they're lost for eternity. What a terrible, terrible thought. But right now we're even facing the same kind of a darkness right here in our world, in the world we live in our nation, in our country, and all around us. Everywhere, the attempt to push Jesus Christ out, to remove Him from everything, from every way. I know this is a little bit frivolous, but I came across this. The top 10 songs downloaded, Christmas songs downloaded. Out of the top 10 songs downloaded, if you've ever bought songs online, on iTunes or wherever, you can download a song and you don't have to go to the store and buy the CD. You can just download it onto your computer. And so when it's talking about the downloads, here's the songs. There's only one of them that's a Christmas carol hymn. The other nine, the top 10, the other nine are kind of frivolous or worldly songs. Get this one. The number one download, Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. What in the world? That's the number one song? You got to be kidding me. Number two, All I Want for Christmas. Number three, Rocking Around the Christmas Tree. Number four, Jingle Bell Rock. Number five, The Chipmunk Song. What? You got to be kidding me. Number six, White Christmas. Number seven, Last Christmas. Number eight, Silent Night is the only hymn downloaded in the top 10. And guess what? It was performed by the Jewish saxophone player, Kenny G. So there was no lyrics. They just liked the music, the way it sounded, his saxophone song, Silent Night. Number nine, A Christmas to Remember. And number 10, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. What? The top 10 Christmas songs downloaded. Now, I know that's a little bit crazy and frivolous, but I think it's kind of an indicator, isn't it? What's going on in our nation? People don't really know what Christmas is about. They're in darkness. They're in such darkness. Some don't know, and some have chosen not to believe and not to know. But yet we're faced with a time of great spiritual darkness. But he says, the day spring from on high hath visited us. Let me tell you, United States of America needs the day spring. Oh, how desperately. We need the sun to come up. We need a new day. We need a restoring and a revival in our nation and a return to the Lord. You need that in your life. Amen. You know, it's a terrible thing to close your heart and to close yourself off to the things of God. We need to believe God. We need to believe the promise of God and understand that the only hope for this world is the day spring from on high. Hallelujah. The condition of this world is the God of this world has blinded the minds. People's thinking is so twisted up because the God of this world, we know that that's Satan himself, has blinded their minds that they cannot see. They can't comprehend truth. They can't comprehend the things of God. What can dispel darkness? There's only one thing. Turn up the light. It's the only thing that'll solve the problem of darkness. And that's why you and I as the church have been called to be. Jesus is the light of the world, but he's called you and I as well to be a light in our world. And the church needs to turn up the light. We need, our testimony needs to be more powerful, more effective. It needs to be more real to a world that is in darkness. And they're in spiritual need and spiritual ignorance and without the knowledge of the Lord. And the only thing that can bring hope and light into their situation is you and me bringing the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. And the Son of Righteousness comes, at the day spring comes into this situation and provides some light and some hope. Amen. He said, the day spring from on high hath visited us to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Amen. Now, what I see is in such a contrast here in this chapter is the big spiritual change that has taken place in the mind and the heart of Zacharias. He now not only believes, but he fully understands how that God is unveiling his plan in his life, through his family, through his child John, and what John is going to do to prepare the way for the Messiah. And that Messiah is going to be the day spring. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. This dark world needs the day spring. It needs Jesus. It needs the message of the gospel. Amen. And I know that it's hated, it's despised by many, rejected by many in our world today, but it's the only hope. It's the only hope for a world that's in such a mess and in such darkness. And we need to ask the Lord, Lord, that same message that Malachi talked about that Son of Righteousness coming and bringing healing with his wings, on his wings, and bringing freedom and liberty and deliverance to those that are bound in their sin. That's the only hope, isn't it? Now, that's the message of Christmas. That's the real message of this season of the year. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord, we do thank you for your word and your truth. Thank you, Lord, that you can speak to us and you can use us, Lord, in a world that's so under darkness, in darkness, spiritual darkness, when people don't know how much that they need the Lord. Lord, I just pray that you'd speak to the hearts of people, deal with the hearts of people right here in this congregation, in this service tonight, and others, Lord, help us to be the light. Help us to be that influence in our world. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Lord, we need you to come. We need your presence and your power. We need the day spring from on high to come and to dispel the darkness, to turn the light, to bring the light of hope into this world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.